Blog Talk Radio.
Nothing shutout, and I am pleased as punch, pickle pink, and everything else to welcome back on the mend my partner Eddie. How are you?
Well, I'm gonna be very low key. Nah, I'm only kidding. I'm doing great. I'm finer than frog hats with three ways. I am back from my acid-y vacation. Had a little ulcer problem, but it seems to be going away, and nothing can help the agita factor than a 1-0 20-minute tight-fisted game like we just got done seeing. But the stomach is recovering, and we'll figure it all out as we go along. I missed you, and I missed everybody, whether you were listening to this broadcast in the last show via laptop, via desktop, or via iPhone, BlackBerry, or whatever these listening devices, these viewing devices, these personal devices that you may have. So I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be talking Rangers hockey with the Blue Shirt Underground Radio crew, who is the fucking best.
That's right. I said to you right before we went on the air, I said this on Twitter after the game ended, if you diagrammed what a perfect defensive hockey game looks like, it looked a lot like tonight. 13 shots on goal for the Devils? 13? I mean, I think the Rangers only had 15 or 6 or something like that, but it's the type of game the Rangers just love to play. Get that one goal lead, take it into the third period, and clamp it down. I mean, Henrik, I don't even think Henrik broke a sweat. Did he even have pads on?
Well, he did make a good save on Kovalchuk late in the game on that snapper. He made some good saves.
That was beautiful.
Yeah. On a deflection, is it deflected in off Girardi, and he got it with the glove. That was an awesome save.
You look like Greg Nettles with that glove.
Oh, yes, Greg Nettles. One of the great all-time Yankee third basemen. So anyway, anywho, anywhere, he made some stellar single saves, but there wasn't a lot of flurry around the net, not a lot of bing bang. Obviously, with 13 shots, there can't be many. I felt this game was about as indicative as why the Rangers didn't make a move at the deadline, other than acquiring John Scott for a fifth-round pick, if you didn't hear. I got a different take on John Scott than Jim does after consulting some people. But we'll get to that. But this is what we're going to be used to. This is it. It's going to be, if the Rangers are going to win, they're going to win like this. They cream the Devils in hits. They had 35-plus hits. I don't know where it wound up. They blocked way more shots than the Devils. I felt that primarily, if I got to do a little summation of the game here, I felt primarily on the Devils' side. Kovalchuk was pretty silent, as opposed to in the last couple games against the Rangers, where he's been all over the place and having a lot of chances. I felt that David Clarkson lost it. He's a good hockey player. He acted like a complete moron in this game. Taking him out of the game and him missing all that minutes did not work to their advantage. They played undisciplined in that, and that way. He certainly should get suspended for his hit on Dubinsky. For leaving his feet. That's a suspension as far as I'm concerned.
He didn't just leave his feet. He practically levitated. I don't know if I've ever seen a player come that far off his feet. He looked like he was 2 feet off the ice.
Yeah. He looks like he was, doing the springboard competition or the diving board competition at the Olympics. It was a boing, and it was like he was coming off the turnbuckle, from the top turnbuckle, leaping with his elbow. It was ridiculous.
Kelly Clarkson.
Now, my only criticism, again, I said this to you before we went on, is that wouldn't it be fabulato if we can actually get a power play goal that would alleviate some of the pressure of these one-goal games? If they could just manage to score on the power play. I know I'm asking a lot. And maybe you can tell me
in their defense, for a very defenseless power play, I believe the number that they said during the game, I think they said during the game that there's seven coming into the game. There were seven of their last 32, which is certainly a vast improvement over what we've seen. They had two power play goals against the Fish Sticks the other night, didn't they? I think it was two power play goals. So the Devils are a good penalty-killing team. Well, everybody's a good penalty-killing team. Against the Rangers, it seems like there are 28 teams in the top five in penalty-killing when they play the Rangers. Yeah, they're in the top five, aren't they, Sam? Whoa, Joe, tremendous penalty kill. But and they've been better. I mean, what are you going to do? John's going to break the power play.
Well, I'll get to John Scott, but speaking of John's, John Mitchell cannot play the second power play. I'm sorry. He's got a role on this team. His role is not the second line power play guy, center. Sorry. Check, please. Somebody's got to slap those two into reality. Now, refresh my memory. I've been away from the broadcast one day. I've completely forgotten everything Ranger-related. But the first power play unit is what? Stepan, Gaborik, and who?
Well, you're asking for lines? The lines change from shift to shift.
But the power play, the power play. I'm not talking about the lines.
Well, I mean, the power play combination, Richards, Gaborik, Stepan sometimes. Sometimes it's Richards, Gaborik, and Callahan. Sometimes it's Esposito, Hedberg, and Nielsen. Sometimes it's Mike Rogers, Mark Pavlich, and Pierre LaRouche. That's about it.
Right.
Messier, Kovalev, and Graves. alarmer sometimes.
When does Carl Hagelin, what does this guy have to do to play the power play? Are we in some kind of, like, he's got to play a full year, like in some initiation in Tortorella's freaking head?
He's got to go through a hazing.
Yeah, he's got to be hazed Hagelin. In order to play the power play. Meanwhile, they got Brandon Do-Nothing, who's absolutely horrid with any kind of offense. John Mitchell, who supposedly is our shootout shooter, who hasn't, I think, gotten a shootout goal as a Ranger. I think he got, like, you know, I think he's 4 for 6 with, whatever, 3 for 3 with Toronto. He hasn't scored since the Rangers. Anyway, that second line is a give-up. It's a total give-up. Why can't he just play the first on the whole 2 minutes? Plays everything else to death.
Hagelin.
That's right. If Hagelin could play more, I mean, this kid is fast. I want speed. I want somebody who can carry the puck into the zone. But the bottom line is this. The Rangers' power play is what I said it's been, at least in my mind, Sam, is that they can't transition from their grinding, forechecking thing into a creative manpower advantage mode. They just can't do it. They can't do it. You know? They just can't make that transition. That's why we have a shorthanded team that's more deadly than our power play team. So
they have trouble switching gears, don't they, Sam?
That, you know, didn't you hear all that praise they were throwing around on that NBC Sports Channel today?
Oh, you mean, you said it just right, Sports Channel. I felt like I was watching a game on Sports Channel. Welcome to New Jersey Devils hockey on NBC Sports. Oh, the Devils this, the Devils that. They're such a great defensive team. They're so good at this. They're so good at that. Kovalchuk this, Kovalchuk that. 1-0 Rangers. And the Devils have swung the momentum, and they're going to – I love what Pierre Maguire says. Oh, you know, the Devils kill off this Ranger power play. They've got all the momentum now. Does he really think that when the Rangers fail on a power play that it shifts the momentum? Has he watched this team once? We fail on all the power plays. It doesn't do anything for the momentum.
Well,
oh, Devils this, Devils that, Brodeur this.
How about Maguire, though? I mean, he's absolutely, you know, he's absolutely romantically exploded in his pants about McDonough every 30 seconds. I mean, there were romance explosions going off left. Look at McDonough. Oh. he was all over McDonough. Tonight, and McDonough played a hell of a game.
Again,
I can't believe that guy replaced Mark Stahl in 1 year. I still can't believe it. I just can't believe that's possible. I mean, yeah.
McDonough's out there with Girardi, and Stahl is playing with Stu Bickle at times.
Yeah,
stink pickle.
Hey, listen,
Providing Stu Bickle takes the ice as a defenseman and remembers that that's where he's supposed to be. Did you see that? When he did that? I know you watched the Pittsburgh game on Fast Forward, but did you see that when he took a shift? And he was supposed to be at defense, and he was playing forward, and Frankenboyle had to play defense in his place.
No, I didn't see that. Oof.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Huh.
He's not much of a thinker either.
No. Apparently. No.
I'll wait till you search for that one. Looks like...
You seem to be more of a thinker than I am.
Wow. And Ricky Otazu, who did the Mike Rupp signing up in New Jersey, he may be on later. I don't know. It may be too late for him. He's working crazy hours. He talked to Mike Rupp, and Mike Rupp said, and I won't give it all away just because Ricky... joins us. The Rupp said that Tortorella is absolutely in love with Stu Bickle. Like, we didn't know, you know. But he loves the fact that Bickle sticks up for teammates and that Bickle is a in-your-face guy. And that's basically, I think, Oh, wait, I just forgot. That's basically why we've been seeing so much of him, even on the wing. Now, John Scott, who they acquired today, is also one of these quote-unquote swingmen who's got some nastiness to him. Ricky also told me...
Of course, people do go both ways.
Ricky, who is a fighting guru himself, told me that Scott, when he plays defense, plays a less of a goon role. But once you put him up on the forward, he's basically, Tom Sestito. And hopefully he's not as stupid as Sestito. But I can't see John Scott playing any major role for a while, or if any, because, coming playoff time, you're not going to need an enforcer. So, anywho, Shmoo, Jim, I know, Jim, you were like, say that just had to go out and get that goon. It's like, catch that pigeon, catch that goon now.
Well, it just seemed to me like he spent all day working on Rick Nash, and then when he got that, they made that offer, which the word came out on Twitter at about 2:45, that the Rangers had made one last mammoth, and that was the term used, mammoth order or offer for Rick Nash, and we're just waiting to hear. And the final offer was Dubinsky, Tim Erickson, JT Miller, Christian Thomas, and a first-round pick. And Columbus turned them down. And I'm glad they did, because that's a lot. I mean,
who leaked that?
Dance and Larry Brooks, and also TSN had that. That was the final offer.
Oh, if they didn't take that, they're stupid.
Ricky Itazu says there's no truth to that rumor and that it was Brooks being anti-Sather, but we saw that on TSN as well. But if... and I just think that at 5-3, he was at Toys R Us. He had $10 in his pocket. The store was closing. He said, all right, I'll take Bon Scott.
Give me the biggest player you have available.
Right. If I couldn't make the biggest splash figuratively, I'll do it literally, and I'll get the guy that's 6'8". And a friend of mine who's a Blackhawks fan sent me a text and said, he can't skate, he can't score, he's got lousy hands, and he sucks defensively. My response was, other than that, what kind of hockey player is he?
If he can make Anton Strowman steady, if he can make Stu Bickel a swingman, if the Ranger coaching staff can make Jeff Wojtka serviceable, then certainly John Scott has a chance to become I know you hate that word, serviceable, by the way, but a sixth defenseman or a seventh or an eighth defenseman on this team. Maybe he takes the role of Belle Biv DeVoe next year in the beginning of the season. Who knows? But he's not going to be with the Rangers. Come on. Give it a break. He might get a look. But come playoff time, he's not going
to. He might be skating on the power play with John Mitchell in the next game.
I just can't see it. Tortorella takes a long time to warm up the guys. First, he's going to come in, and what is he going to say? Well, he's way out of shape, this Scott. I don't know what they're doing. They were doing with him with the Wild. It's going to be the same thing. He needs to lose, 200 pounds.
I don't know anything about him. That's what Tortorella always says.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about him.
So it's going to be a while before I think we see this guy.
And Adam just said it in the chat room, too. I know nothing about him.
I didn't like him when I first saw him. He had no interest in, rest in peace there. Pour the beer for my dead homies. But he had no interest in playing Bugard either when he was here.
No.
Bugard was just, this is Sather. Again, like you said, the toy shop is closing, and Mr. Magoo has got to buy something. Got to do something. So the game tonight, Sue Papagallo He was Italian, by the way. Not
right.
Greek.
Right. See, everybody else knew this.
Yeah, I know, but I'm dense. You know, ever since we started the show, the Greek contention is complete. I never met so many Greek people in my life, which is good. But she raised a point about what double defenseman covered the puck. Was it Volchenkov who covered that puck?
Yeah, it was Volchenkov.
In the crease.
Yep.
You guys think that should have been a penalty? Now, to be unbiased.
Yes, it should have been because the rule states that if a defenseman that covers the puck, it says nothing about with his hands. It just says covering the puck should be a penalty. And I could find you the rule because somebody
you better have that rule book handy because in that other game where Delzato pass the stick to Boyle. I mean, you got to really. I mean, this is ridiculous. What game was that? Was that the Islander game?
Yeah, that was the Islander game, I think.
That was nonsense. I know it's in the rule books, but come on. How many times have we seen a defenseman pass the stick to a goalie that way? I mean, give it a break. Call all kinds of crazy shit against us during this year. When you're on top, they bring it all out.
I just think they invent things to call penalties on against the Rangers.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let me know when you're ready to go to the phones. We've got a full jammed up switchboard here. You there? Oh, we lost Eddie. All right, so I'll tell you what. While we wait for Eddie to call back in, we'll go right to the phones, and we'll bring on first, not holding the longest, but it's been a while since we talked to him, DB Maven. How are you?
Good evening. How are you?
And I think we have Eddie back. Eddie, are you back?
Yes, I am.
Okay. We have DB Maven on the line.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Oh.
We can hear you.
So are you disputing my interpretation of the rules?
I'm just saying they'll never call it.
Oh.
It bounced, and it kind of went under him, and he closed his legs to protect his privates, and they'll never call it.
Well, they called it on McDonough in the Winter Classic with no evidence that he actually covered the puck.
The view of that was that he swiped at it with his hand, with his arm. So it was a shit call, I agree, but there was at least a hand motion that looked like he was trying to cover it with his hand. This one, it was nowhere near his hands. They'll never call that.
Okay, fair enough.
That's my two cents, and it's worth about an eighth of that, so it's okay.
That's what I thought as well. It wasn't blatant, so you never see that called, actually.
I didn't think it was that.
We're all caught in the moment. It's Rangers Devils, and we scream for everything. You know, we always think we're getting chipped, but meanwhile, both teams are getting the hosed every game by this buffoon NHL refereeing.
There have been some interesting calls. Let's just put it mildly. Yes.
My buddy.
Thank you, Paulie. Nice to see you.
But my favorite part of this is that Hank is now in some fairly rarefied territory. He is now tied with Ken Dryden and Tony Esposito as the only goalies in NHL history to start their careers with 7 straight 30-win seasons. That is impressive.
I've never heard of those other two goalies. Can you refresh my memory on what they...
Couple of lame-os, you know? Who are these guys?
I heard Esposito. Who was the other one?
Some guy named Dryden.
Oh, Dryden. Okay. I only heard you say Esposito. I didn't hear who the other name was. Okay. Dryden and Esposito. Yeah. Wow.
Not too shabby.
You know, not only is it amazing when you think of the company he's in, but think of all the other great goaltenders that aren't in that group. You know?
Right. Everybody blows Brodeur, but for crying out loud, he's never done it. So, I don't know how many 30-win seasons he has. To be honest, I don't care, but, that's pretty rarefied territory. And the fact that you've got clowns like Milbury and these other guys talking about, he could actually be the MVP. That's pretty impressive, too, that he's actually being recognized for having just one incredible season.
I don't think he's played better as a Ranger this year.
I think he's made adjustments. You know, think back a year or two ago, probably 2 years ago, we'd be watching the chat room and you'd be seeing comments about, another soft goal, and he's too easy, and his glove hand sucks.
Glove side.
And his glove side sure doesn't suck this year. He's made some subtle adjustments that, he's playing a little bit deeper. He's using his body better. He's definitely pushing off side to side better. He's scary. He really is.
Oh, and according to Joe Micheletti, one of the broadcasts last week, he's lost a lot of weight.
Joe what? Oh, sorry. Yes.
He said, did you hear him say that? I forget which game it was.
What is it with the weight loss? Ryan McDonough lost 2 pounds and became an excellent first pairing defenseman. And now, you're saying Hank lost weight? Now that's the reason for his 940 save?
He said last week, it was one of the games early last week, Sam, he's in great shape. He lost a lot of weight. I'm like, lost a lot of weight? He was skinny to begin with. How much weight can he have lost?
I got to be honest. I try not to listen to Micheletti. I really do.
Oh, no,
I just try to block
it. No, you have to listen to every word he says. You are missing out if you don't listen to Joe Micheletti. You are missing half the fun of that broadcast.
I think I've got a built-in Micheletti filter. It's just all I hear is Charlie Brown's teacher. I go, wah, 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 wah. He drives me crazy. He really does. Game's got great pace, Sam. I mean, if I hear pace one more time, I think I'll just, throw the flat screen through the window or something. He kills me. He just kills me.
Everything he says, he needs affirmation on. Doesn't he, Sam?
Yeah.
Isn't it Sam?
Mm-mm.
Aren't they Sam? And then Sam just goes, Oh.
You killed me, big boy.
All right.
They were talking about it in the chat room before that Pierre and the guys practically creamed their pants talking about McDonough taking on Kovalchuk. And I mean, it was a phenomenal play by McDonough. There's no question about it. Just impressive as hell. But these guys were like, oh my God, he is the best, best defenseman that we've ever seen in our lives. 22 years old. Oh my God, they should be proud of him in Wisconsin. Oh, shut the hell up.
Mike Eaves. He always has to mention Mike Eaves should be proud of him.
Good grief.
I was thinking of all this talk about weight loss. McDonough and Henrik's lost a lot of weight. Maybe Biron should gain 10 pounds so he doesn't have a five hole anymore.
He needs to chase. I mean, he really needs to have them both rubbing together. I mean, I wasn't here for the... Weather Rangers, but he's an abomination out there. I got to tell you, whether it's his fault, but that shootout, I was watching the game with a bunch of guys, and I was like praying that game would go to shootout so I could have some laughs. I was getting really masochistic, because I was like, I can't wait to see, because just watch him. And the five hole is ridiculous. It's indefensible. I don't know what Benoit Hollaire or whatever the guy's name is, Benoit Balls, whatever his name is, he's got to work on that thing. I mean, you could try to, meet Jim and Coach that can get through that thing. somebody's got to fix that.
You're killing me. That was great. And now I've got this vision of you, Jim, and Costa like on the ice.
Yeah, like Frosty the Snowman with the little girl on his back.
Exactly.
Well, DB, listen, we got to get a bunch of other calls in so we can finish this up on time and send everybody to bed. But nice to hear from you. Do these later shows benefit you? I know you work a lot of hours.
The later show just happens to work tonight. Who knows? Any given time, it's you never know. But thanks for taking me, and I'm sorry I haven't been around a lot, and I'll try to be more present.
Well, we appreciate it.
Love hearing from you, bro.
Take care, brothers.
Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. The one and only DB Maven. All right. I'll tell you what, since you're back, and pick a number, pick an area code on the switchboard, and we'll take the call. Everybody's been on hold about the same amount of time, so.
Let's go with 239.
All right. I believe this is Greg. 239, Greg, is that you?
City.
There you are. Greg, is that you? Good. How are you doing?
Good. I had a good vacation up here. It's the first time I actually had a winning trip and saw the Rangers win a few games, so I'm pretty happy.
Nice.
Yes, I saw the pictures. And tell us about them. Tell us about, tell the folks out there what game you went to and what the experience was like.
Well, every year it's a little different. I always come up to New York around this time in February. I guess it's always around your birthday. Happy birthday there, Eddie.
Thank you so much,
Jack. I hope you're feeling better there. And, I came in late Thursday night. I went to the Islander game on Friday in Nassau Coliseum, and then I did the Buffalo and New Jersey games here at the Garden, and it turned out real well, I'll tell you what. The Garden's looking pretty good with that new construction they're doing. Trump was at the game there, huh?
Trump was there.
But, this is the first time. Usually I'll see one win and one loss or two losses. There was one year I saw nothing but losses, and I won 5 out of 6 points. I think somebody's going to start a fund up here so I could stay up here and watch the rest of the season. It was great. I love coming into the city, and it's like old times because I used to live up here in New Jersey, and I'm just happy with this team, and I'm really happy that I would have loved to got Nash if at that end, the deal that you said there, I guess I would have taken that. I thought it was going to be more going that way, but I'm surprised Columbus didn't take that. Jeez.
Yeah, well, listen, now the Ranger fans, the camp that wanted things status quo and stick with the youth, now we're gonna, they got their way, and, it's a good thing, because we know what the team is all about. The team is about defense first, it's about the room, it's about how tight-knit these guys are, and this is just the way it's going to be, and we've got to survive this. And hopefully get some playoff wins and
right.
Get at least to the conference finals, and the season will be a success in my mind.
Right.
And maybe more. Who knows? Anything else is gravy as far as I'm concerned.
Well, here's the thing now. With the trade deadline all done, now the Rangers could concentrate. They know the guys are going to be there. And maybe they'll put a little more, even more effort into it now, with no trades looming over their head. We have a great record, and defensively tonight, we're unbelievable. That great save by Henrik at the end there on Kopelstock or whatever, that was a great save. But I like the team how it is, and, I don't know how far we could go, and I said this many times, if we get some breaks, and if for some reason the power play does half as good or any good, you never know. You got to get some breaks in the playoffs. But if we don't make it all the way, I think we've passed all expectations as far as the season's gone anyway right now. So If we don't make it all the way, I wouldn't be surprised. And then we could fix that over the summer. And I'd say within the next 2 years, a cup will come if the, the way we're going right now. I hope so for Hank's course there. And I love Cali. That goal he scored against Buffalo in overtime, that was tremendous. That was right there on the right side of it. And, man, he's a good captain. I like him a lot. I think that'll be my next jersey.
I think we all do.
Well, you know what? Winning makes me hungry. So I got to go down to that place across from the garden. They got food out there 24 hours a day. I got to get me a bunch of shit there. So
all right,
I just wanted to check
in. Time.
I've been working.
Go ahead.
I've been working, and it's been weird, but I kept the thread going even up in New York here. And I just want to thank all the people that go on the BSU thread there. I think it's a lot of fun, and you make new friends.
And thank you for doing that every game, Greg. We do appreciate it.
I want to say that, too. That, you know, to me, is Greg, that is just such a nice thing that you do. It really is.
Now,
I remember when Jim said, you know, let's put it all in one group. And actually, that's what I did on the Yankee thread. And I said, heck, if nobody else does it, I'd like to do it. I get a kick out of it, and I really enjoy it. And you guys have a good show. It's worth listening to. And, you guys are great. And so are all the Ranger fans out there. And Fatso could go home and eat the donuts now. That's all I got to say. Well, good talking to you. My flight's back early in the morning, but I'm fucking hungry.
All right. Have fun, Greg. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye, guys. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
All right.
I got to say that Colville stock.
It's a free concert from now on. Joan Baez. And Max Jaeger's farm, right? Is that where Colville stock was?
That's right. Yeah.
Max Yasker's farm. I think I got the. If I got my names right there.
Boy.
We might have to add that to the list.
Yeah, I'll get that one on. I think he was a little inebriated though.
And some off.
So let's get the phone.
Cugliano.
All right. Well, let's see. I got two calls here that are Skype. One's you. One's. But they're both live, so I don't know what's going on with the switchboard. So if there's somebody on hold on Skype, hang up and call back, because I don't know who's who, and they're both saying that they're on the air, but obviously they're not. So, and one of them's Eddie. So whoever it is, hang up and call back. And let's go to 732-614. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who is this?
Hey, my name's Kevin. This is my first time calling in.
Hey,
Kevin, what's going on? Welcome to the program.
Nothing
is this
much.
First time listening?
No, I listen all the time. I just my first time calling in.
Oh, okay. Well, we appreciate it.
Yeah, I was going to go to the library, but then after the win, I was like, nah, fuck that shit.
Exactly. This is way better than the library.
I have to do a lot of studying, but I'll pass that up for tomorrow.
There is nothing you can learn in the library that will exceed what the education you'll get on this show.
Exactly. That's it. That's what pretty much sold me over the top.
This is a sociological study, that's for sure.
So, Kevin,
what's going on, Kevin? What's on your mind? How do you like this?
I've been thinking a lot about who I hate this year because, like, you know, we've traded Volsky, we traded Christensen, and we need a new person like make our bitch.
Slipping boy, I love it.
And I mean, I guess I'm gonna have to endorse Dubinsky now. It seems to be the easy option.
Dubinsky.
Yeah.
I mean, I like him, but he's obviously overpaid. And if you look at his numbers, he's never been a 20-goal scorer. Well, even last year, he had 24 goals, but 5 were empty nets. The year before, he had 20 goals, but 1 was an empty net. So every single season within the year, in the league, he's never had 20 goals. So where did he earn a $4.2 million contract?
Now I think that was the favored nation clause with Ryan Callahan. Dubinsky celebrated the win tonight by going home and unpacking.
I saw you tweeted that.
Ripping up those Columbus travel brochures.
See, my question is why do we have to have a bitch to whip? Aren't we an elite team now?
Didn't you? You were the one that called him Brandon Do Nothing at the top of the show.
I mean, you know, now that it's all over and he isn't being traded, I'm going to embrace him a little bit, hope that he does better, but I'm not going to.
I'm hoping.
Off.
I'm not going to root against him, but he's
right,
obviously
but
been
saying,
in
like, you know, they said it during the game. You know, I mean, Kevin and Jim, don't you feel like we've been struggling lately?
Yeah.
I feel like we have, right?
Everything I've watched, I felt something's just—they've just been off every game, like the past five games. Even though they've won, even though they've got maybe 5 points out of it, they just haven't looked right.
You see what Mario just put in the chat room? Dubinsky and Boyle going up the ice on a two-on-two look like the Special Olympics.
That's just fucking so many ways, but very funny.
Brian Dubinsky.
And that feels off the Rangers are 8-3-2, I think. Since the All-Star break? And I'm like, it doesn't feel like it.
9-3
is now.
9-3-2 now?
Yep.
It feels like they've been lackluster. And this finally, Kevin, if I may say so, and take a little bit, 30 seconds.
Go ahead.
Or less. The last two games, the Rangers didn't throw a hit in any of those games. They need the hit to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
They were very flaccid, physical games from a Ranger point of view, and they can't play like that and expect to win. Tonight, they got the job done. They completely shut down the Devils. That's what they need to do. They must play physical and hit. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry. So let me ask you this question, Kevin. What did you think about what they didn't do at the trade deadline?
At the trade deadline? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, it's what Jim said about like what they offered. I thought that was way too much, and I'm glad they didn't get Rick Nash. And
that
I mean, this
a little bit too much.
And this John Scott trade, like, do they just make trades? Like, do they just make trades for the sake of making trades? Like, at the trade time, I just want to make sure that the Rangers were somewhere on that trading board.
You're at, yes.
I didn't think that was the absolutely necessary move.
Do you play, Kevin, do you play video games? You play NHL 12 or any of those games?
Yeah.
You ever just sit there for, you know, maybe you play for a month with the same roster and then you just go, I'm just going to trade somebody. Let me go see if I can get this guy. So you just put together a package and you make a trade just because you get bored with your lineup. I think that's what he does.
Yeah, I think I just thought the John Scott trade was unnecessary. Maybe he's trying to, like, see how good of a coach Tortorella is. Like, he's just going to, like, make a trade for some crappy-ass defensive, see if he can make him good.
Ah.
Like he's done with Roy Witka.
Well,
maybe next he's going to, like, I've never played hockey in my life. Maybe they'll just sign me to a contract, see if I can play defense for the Rangers.
I don't know. If that was the case, then Wade Redden would have gotten Tortorella fired. So, all right. Well, Kevin, listen, we're going to take some other calls before we try and wrap this up, and we appreciate you listening and calling in for the first time. I hope you'll call back.
Yeah.
All right, I'll definitely call back.
All right, take it easy. Have a good night.
I'm there.
Bye. All right, let's see. Adam, what's going on?
Hey, how are we doing tonight?
We're doing good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Cool. Yes, I called in because I wanted to talk about the John Scott trade, and since I'm out here, I think I can give a little different perspective.
Yes, please
do. I found out about the trade. Yep. And sitting right across from me are two Blackhawks fans, and I just look over at them and I said, hey, you just traded us your enforcer. Their faces both went pale and their jaws dropped. They're like, wait a minute, you just got John Scott? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, they're miserable. They're like, what'd you get, a fifth? Like, and they're like, furious. If we had been at work, they probably would have screamed at me. And I didn't expect them to be this upset. And I said, why are you so upset? And they're talking about, well, you know, that's basically the only guy that protects any of our players. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, he gets 5 minutes a night. but apparently he was becoming a fan favorite, and also he's very popular in the dressing room. So there is something to be said for that. And then I texted a few other friends, and they were like, you could have him. He's your problem now. You know, he can't handle the puck. He has horrible hands, which, you know, you were alluding to earlier. And I'm like, well, we're not getting him for his puck handling skills. I mean, we watched, what, 2, 3, 4 fights tonight, and each time I was thinking, if Scott was in there, this fight would have been over in 20 seconds. So, you know, obviously it's not a huge trade, but it's just for this year, and then it's over. So, you know, my attitude for what's probably going to be the 145th pick in the draft this year, you know, why not go for it? Why not?
I guess.
I just look at the trade, and I don't see where he fills one need that they had at 8 o'clock this morning.
Right.
That's the way I look at it.
I think we all wanted a scorer. Yeah, we all wanted a scorer, but, you know, they were obviously not going to be coming here. So, you know, you already talked about what the price for Nash was, and that would have been absolutely absurd. So.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think one of the other guys they would have been interested in would have been Whitney, but Phoenix is red hot. So they weren't looking to trade anybody. Phoenix won 9 of the last 10. They're in first place.
Every time you say that, I think Ryan Whitney. I don't know why.
No, Ray Whitney.
But the other thing on Facebook, yeah, I didn't understand the reactions of some of these people on Facebook. There were people talking about, oh, this guy,
he's
a fool. What's Dave thinking about? This guy's an idiot. This guy, I've never heard of
Pluto.
Him play, but he sucks. People Adam are ripping this guy saying he's a
Pluto
player. I don't know. Apparently, I can do the Costa and I can do the Bluto. I don't know. I guess I have a couple in me that I didn't know about. But they're ripping a guy who they've never seen play in their entire life. And I'm like, can you at least see the guy play a game if you've never heard of him before you start ripping him?
Yeah, well, they were expecting. They were expecting Rick
Nash. I'd rather see him to Bickle. I don't know.
Well, like I said, Tortorella loves Stu Bickle. I think they may rename the Rangers Pickles. It's getting so absurd over there.
Dink Pickles.
The New York Pickles.
Pickles, yeah. They'll be like Clausen's Pickles out on the Dasher boards next year.
I know what you're saying. And you know what? Jim has swayed me that this was a stupid move. It was just a move to make
the move. I don't
even want
to use the word stupid. It's just nonsensical.
It's not going to matter. The only way it could really be a bad move is if he takes a stupid penalty and costs him the game. He is penalty prone, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
So, I think he has, 29 games, he has like 50 penalty minutes or something like that. So.
Yeah.
The only thing I'll say is they've been able to mold defensemen to be capable. So if this guy's big and they can make him capable till McElrath gets here, whatever. I'm surprised Jeff Boy Whitka didn't go anywhere. I really thought they'd
did
shed a little bit more than they did. And
really
also,
a big demand for Jeff Boy Whitka.
I found out through my sources that Michael Sauer is pretty much done for the season. He's not showing any progress. That is a true statement. You heard it here first on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Actually, that's what Rupp said to Ricky Itazu at the Mike Rupp viewing party there. Mike Rupp signing, not viewing party. That he said that Sauer is pretty much going to probably be done for the season. So that's sad news. It's, I think, his second or third concussion. For Sauer in his career, and you know, it's a tough break, you know, I think it's good without Nash because they'll have a lot of cap room come free agency, and then we can really land a real big guy and not give up anything except money, which we have a plethora of.
Sounds good to me.
Is Parise the guy you're thinking of for that big free agent?
I like Parise.
Yeah, we always have to watch out for those ex-devils, but...
Yeah, or Ryan Suter.
Anybody.
You think Ryan Suter would be a good fit for this team? Could he oust John Scott's position next year.
Scott will be gone after the season anyway. Scott's contract is up after the season anyway.
Fighting with Anton Strawman for playing time. Did you see who else got traded today? Did you see who else got traded today?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Hi.
Matt Gilroy to Ottawa.
Matt Gilroy. Hi.
Matt Gilroy.
Hi, Matt Gilroy.
Gilroy. Daughter Judy.
I felt bad when I read that because I'm thinking, here you are, you're like 25, 26, whatever he is, 27 years old.
Check it out, he's still growing into his body.
28, growing into your body, maturing.
Hilton Baker.
Hanging out in Tampa Bay, you know, you got spring break coming up, and boom, Ottawa.
Ottawa.
He's going to go play with that Roman Senator Sergei Gonchar, Strom Thurmond.
Was it three teams in 3 years?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, trapped defenseman in 3 years to play.
Could have brought him back instead of Bon Scott. No?
Yes. $1 million he would have cost us.
One million.
Yeah. Quickly, I don't know. You know, I don't know what kind of peyote they're smoking up there in Canada land. But I was watching that TSN Trade Center, which was a complete bomb because nothing really happened except for the. I think the major deal was the Cody Hodgson. And I'll wrap this up quickly. Was the Cody Hodgson deal. Going for Buffalo's, the Sabres, Zach. Is it Zach? Yeah, the Zach.
Zach Cassian.
They were completely messing their pants about how Zach Cassian is just what the Canucks need. Meanwhile, they gave up a 22-year-old Calder Trophy nominee. He's not going to win it, but he could be a nominee. I know they have depth. But just to have, I mean, they have Bieksa, Kessler and Sedin playing in front of Hodgson. But still, to give up a young prospect that can put the puck in the net for Zach Cassian, I thought it was I think Buffalo won that trade, but they were making Zach Cassian out like he was Lucic. And it's like, give it
a break. I never heard of Zach Cassian in my life.
He was picked a couple of slots before Chris Kreider.
That's
2009
reassuring.
Draft.
Chris Kreider will have the same exact career stats after five games than Zach Cassian will have.
That's great. Alexander Daigle was once picked first overall. Shows you what that means.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Adam, we got to get some other calls. But thank you for calling in, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay,
take care.
Have a good night, guys.
All right, take it easy.
Go John Scott.
Bye.
Really
quick before we get back to the phones. Oh, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, isn't John Scott the guy who does Channel 5 News?
Rosanna Scotto?
No, 10 o'clock news. All right, okay. Don't worry about it.
Bill Jurgensen?
It's the next caller.
Speaking of Chris Kreider, now I have no information on this. I have no background information. I don't know what it entails, but apparently there is talk, and who initiated the talks, I don't know. But apparently there's some school of thought that he could finish school when he's finished with school, which is in April, that he would be eligible to come play for the Rangers. I don't know if that's true. I don't know anything beyond that. But that's just what I read in a couple of places today. Without further ado, let's get back to the phones. Frankie, how are you?
It's raining out here in Fort Myers.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, by the way, Zach Cassian was a very, very highly regarded winger in that draft that Kreider was in. He was like a Clark Gillies type guy that could score goals. This year in the AHL, he has done pretty well for a guy that's only like 20 years old. He scored like 15 or 18 goals or something like that. And he still got his physical skills. Vancouver's looking for a guy that can fight, that can play the wing. And Dale Weiss, he's only got four goals, and he, you know, He doesn't win any fights, but he's a very good body checker. So I guess that's why they went for Cassian. They want a big, tough guy on wing. And he is very highly related, rated. Still there?
Yep, I was just listening to you. I knew you knew all about these prospects, Frankie. You do a lot of
Zach Cassian. I think he's got a brother that plays hockey too.
Yeah, man.
But Zach Cassian, he is a very, very tough, punishing guy. He's like the defenseman that the Rangers have in that they drafted. He's a real tough, physical guy, and he actually can score goals. So he's got some issues though. He kind of, like, does some things he shouldn't do off the ice. So he's got to be watched. Maybe he's just immature. But he is a tough guy that has a skill set. When I saw the Rangers get Scott today, I figured he's their answer to Boston and to with Lucic and Chara and Philadelphia when they put that guy Sestito on the ice. And I also kind of think that this is probably the end of Rupp, that because Scott gets like $500,000 a year and Rupp gets $1.2 million, next year they're just going to send Rupp down to the AHL to get him off the cap, and will be another $700,000 to the good. And I kind of like Bickle at right defense. He's surprised me, and since Sauer, whatever his he's a career injury in juniors, the AHL, and now in the pros, like his brother, who's bigger than him. I think Bickle may have a future with the Rangers. And Scott, he might be that seventh defenseman that we use to equalize the other guys. What do you think?
If you heard, I don't know how much of the show you heard, but Eddie was talking about Tortorella loves Bickle.
Oh, yeah, he was chewing him out the other day for making a mistake on the ice, but he chewed out Delzato, too, for throwing the stick to help one of his wingers that had lost his stick. But
well, he was chewing Bickle out because Bickle took a shift at forward when he was supposed to be on defense.
Well, you know, that's what he does best, Tortorella. He moves guys around, and tonight when Girardi got his point, and was a plus on the ice, guess who was playing defense with him? Stahl. So, and now on the MSG, whatchamacallit, website, when they interviewed him, the reporters, he says, I don't make the defensive matchups. He says, that's Sully's job. So I guess putting Girardi with Stahl was Sullivan's decision for those shifts. And then moving Delzato around. But Delzato's only like 20 years old. I mean, or 21 years old. You can't be moving him left defense, right defense. And Bickle, he was a forward, I guess, early in his life. But he went to defense, and now you're moving him back and forth. And then you got to berate him because he kind of got it twisted. that happens. You know, they have, too many men on the ice. They have guys sitting on the wrong side of the ice. But that's because Tortorella's constantly juggling everything,
Right.
So I wouldn't be too critical of some of these guys because they have bought into the system. They are trying real hard. They don't score a lot of goals, but they don't give up any goals either.
Right.
So I have no problem with the team.
Least goals allowed in the league.
Yep.
Frankie, I got to ask, are you a karaoke or something? I hear an awful lot of music in the background.
No, you can't get a signal where I live.
Oh.
So what I do is I move down the street near the tower at a Hess gas station, and I get the signal a lot better.
I love that. You're standing outside a Hess gas station talking to...
Well, believe it or not, I have AT&T, and, I go outside my complex, and it says no network. But I go about a mile down the road to the Hess station, and all of a sudden, your phone goes through. So, it is what it is. Nobody wants a cell tower... Nobody wants to
pick me up one of those Christmas trucks.
I'm serious. Nobody wants a cell tower in the neighborhood, so you have to constantly hope that you're close to a cell tower to get a signal. And this is not like Manhattan, Fort Myers, where there's a cell tower every block. So sometimes you're in the wilderness out here, you know.
You should try to wear maybe a tinfoil hat. You might be able to get better reception.
Yeah, okay. Or carry a golf club in my hand and walk around trying to get a signal. But it's terrible. You know, I never had these problems up in New York and New Jersey or Long Island, you know, where it says no network. And I have this carrier that nobody ever heard of before, AT&T. So it's part of life. You know, it is what it is. But what do you think? You think the Rangers are going to send Rupp down to the AHL to get another $700,000 under the cap next season?
No.
I don't see Rupp going to the AHL.
No. Rupp is...
Well, they're not going to pay him $1.2 million. They're not going to pay him $1.2 million.
Well, let me tell you, Frank, let me answer your question, Frank.
What?
We had Rupp did a personal appearance up here in Jersey.
Oh, he's a great guy, great team guy.
Right. And my friend Ricky ran it. And Rupp actually stood an hour and a half after the signing, drank beers with Ricky and this and that. And he said that this Ranger team is better in the room, as tight as a unit, than any team he's ever played on. He said,
and Rupp is part of that.
Yes. And I think the Rangers and Tortorella really value him as a veteran. And I think he's going to stay around. I think he's going to stay around. That's my hunch.
But he's making $1.2 million. Scott's making $500,000. Dubinsky's making $4 million.
Scott will be gone after the end of the year.
I don't know. I read somewhere that he's 17-0 in the NHL, fighting wise. And I went on YouTube to look at his fights. He doesn't fight too many draws. I mean, like, he's not a wrestling guy like Rupp. He's a guy that just, like, lays them out, you know. And that would send a message if somebody took a run at Hagelin or took a run at Richards. Scott gets on the ice and he just drops them after one or two, you know. And it's not that wrestling thing like Rupp. You know, and Rupp's constantly breaking fingers and hurting his shoulder and everything. I think he's getting too old for this.
But, you know, you're exactly right, because Ricky told me that the three fingers on his right hand, the fingernails, ripped off and they were black. So he's banged up. That hand is banged up. That's good. That's a good analysis there, Frankie.
Yeah, but Rupp was a good, skilled offensive winger when he came up and was drafted number one. He was not a fighter. They made him into a fighter and he became fairly successful at it, unlike Jessamyn, who they tried to make into a fighter and he just got knocked out every time he dropped the gloves. So Rupp did what he had to do to be successful, you know. But he's not a natural fighter. You know, he just has size going for him. And
were you disappointed they didn't get Nash? Were you pro or con or
No. Nash, I wasn't going to go for Nash unless they took back two contracts, Dubinsky and Stahl, because I firmly believe that with the people we have in the pipeline and any new draft choices, I want to be able to sign them if they turn out to be good players. I don't want to worry 3 or 4 years from now that we don't have the money to sign our restricted agents. And
is there a lot of gas fumes where you are?
What?
Nothing. So I wanted to ask you, what did you think about the trading deadline overall? I heard the Predators were very active. They got the Kostitsyn. What do you think about that?
Well, I kind of think that Kostitsyn, Grabowski, and Parisi are all going to be on the Ranger radar at the end of this season because they're going to be under the cap. And I think they don't have to give up anybody to sign any of those guys. They're all unrestricted free agents. So I think the Rangers made a good move in not trading any of their assets for this guy. And now they have a chance to sign one of these unrestricted free agents and not pay anything for them, you know, in the way of players or draft choices.
Now, Frankie, were you upset about them trading Voltek?
Voltek.
Volsky.
I don't know.
Volsky.
Who?
Voltek.
I know, you're breaking up.
They traded Volsky the other day.
Oh, Wofsky. Oh, well, you know, I hope they could get something more from him, but, you know, it is what it is. The kid has skill, but he doesn't fit into Tortorella's system. You know, he's not a match, you know, and you find all these people with limited skill sets, they buy into Tortorella's system, and it works. You know, you don't see too many superstars on the Rangers. And now I'm starting to think that Richards has given up much of his offensive play to back check or try to back check, and he's being rewarded because his team is doing real well. Or do you think that Richards is sliding and on the downside of his career? Or is it because of the system that he's not doing well?
I think it's the system. He's sacrificing for the system.
And like I said the other night, I also think that Anisimov and Dubinsky, they're centers, they are passers, they are not finishers. And yet they, you know, because of the system, Tortorella puts them on the wing. And I think that what we need are finishers. And Kreider's a finisher. This kid Thomas is a finisher. Unfortunately, St. Croix, who's having a real good junior hockey season, he's a passer. That's going to be interesting. So anyway, that's what we need. Finishers, well, not passers.
You have mentioned in the past that Andrew Cagliano might be coming to the Rangers.
Well, I thought that he was a match for the Rangers because he played, you know, in the same college, Michigan Wolverines, that Hagelin played, and they both had the same experience in the NHL rookie All-Star game of being the fastest player on the ice. And I think Hagelin is a little bit faster than Cogliano, but Cogliano was the fastest for that draft year. And then I thought that being that they had something in common, the two of them playing for the same college, that maybe this kid Ryan from New Jersey who plays with Anaheim, maybe he would have, some whatchamacallit success with the Rangers, but they couldn't get him. Then I thought that Dustin Brown, who's from Rochester, New York, which is down the street from where Callahan was raised at, I think, Ithaca. Was it Ithaca? That Callahan from?
Yeah. No, Callahan's from Rochester.
Okay, who's then the other guy must be from Ithaca.
Yeah.
Dustin Brown.
Right.
So I just figured they had things in common. They probably knew each other, growing up or, you know, because they're in the same geographic area or attended the same schools. And Ryan was from New Jersey. I mean, that's not the end of the world, New Jersey. So I thought there was some common ground there, but there's still a chance the Rangers could go after Ryan in the offseason, although I prefer not to give up players if I can avoid it.
I hear you.
All right, Frankie. So big win against the Devils. Rangers are rolling on, and we'll see what the rest of the season.
We'll just keep on winning all these games, 1-0, 2-1, the rest of the season.
There you
We're never going to see a Pittsburgh game, 8-1 or 7-3 or anything like that.
Oh, that's for sure.
Not in our lifetime.
All right, listen, Frankie. We're almost done with the show. We're gonna let you go. Get home. Walk home. So be careful walking home, will you?
Okay, cool. Take
all
care,
right.
PDF.
How long does it take you to get home from that Hess station?
I'm on the scooter.
Wikipedia.
Oh, you're on the scooter.
The same scooter that I fractured
Wikipedia.
My skull on.
Right.
That Wikipedia.
The scooter survived, but your head didn't.
Well, it survived. It just took a while to get fixed. That's
what kind
all.
Of scooter do you have? Is
a
it a
Honda
motorized?
Rocket.
He's
a Honda Rocket.
He's got an armored scooter.
Yeah, but it's not armored against potholes. So, you got to stay clear of potholes.
Scooter says Brinks on the side.
And crackpots.
Yeah,
so
whatever.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Good night, gentlemen.
We'll talk to you
next time.
Take care,
yep.
Buddy.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Andrew Cogliano.
You really tested my gut with the laughs tonight, man. I had to hold in like 6 different times.
Well, do you know what? You know what was so funny is that I typed in the chat room, when he said he was having trouble with his cell phone, that that he should hold the cell phone up to the plate in his head. And right then, when you said...
Well, I repeated what D.B. Maven said. That was his line, was the tinfoil hat.
That was when you said the tinfoil hat. And there was no stopping, man. I just, oh my God, I flooded out my contacts. I was crying so hard. Oh, holy shit, that was funny. And now we're going to talk to Dan. He's going to finish the show.
Okay.
I think Frankie's back on hold. No, he was back on hold. Maybe he's not. Oh, I think he hung up. Okay. Frankie, we love you. Jesus Christ.
Handsome off.
Become the highlight of the goddamn show. The chat room went nuts when I put him on
the air. And I'm not a crazy person, despite the brain injury.
I will be laughing about tinfoil hat for a very long time.
Man, that's got about 8 clips in it, that thing. That cool. But let's get back to the topic at hand.
One of these nights, we're going to put him on at the top of the show. We're just going to let him go for 2 hours and see what we come up with. We'll have to do like a special show, you know, like we'll do a regular show one night and then the next night we'll come back with just be Frankie for 2 hours. What's going on, Dan? You have a tough act to follow, my friend.
I don't think I could ever follow that act, boys. I'll tell you right now, at least
Pegolin.
I don't have to drive to the nearest Hess station just to call in. I'll tell you that much.
Good night,
on your scooter.
Oh, that? No, I don't even need a scooter, man.
Scooter.
Come on.
He's riding down the street in a scooter, telling his wife, I gotta go call the Bouchard Underground and talk about Hagelin.
Oh boy. That's just pure gold, Jimmy. Pure gold. That's unbelievable. You want to know what else is pure gold? Henrik Lundqvist. 30 wins in 7 straight seasons. He has, I think right now, it's 243 career wins. Mike Richter has 301, and there's 21 games left. Now, I don't know how many more games Biron's going to be in net for Henrik, but if he can get past 250 before the playoffs next year, boy, I'll tell you, have Richter in the building. I mean, Henrik Lundqvist has just been a godsend since this team came back from the lockout. I mean, we didn't even know who our goaltender was. You know, Kevin Weeks. You could have had someone else. Chad Johnson. Henrik Lundqvist has just been absolutely unbelievable.
There's no doubt about that, man. I mean, it's just, he's just elevated, you know. And it's funny because at the end of last year, if you remember, he was not happy that they got ousted again in the first round. He almost was like, you know, I don't have many years in my prime for this nonsense. And he seemed a little bit down for the first time in his career as a Ranger. And I think he knows that this team could really do some damage in the playoffs. And I think he's really confident. And I think he's elevated his game to match the intensity of the Rangers. I mean, his game was always fantastic. But I think he's
owning
and focused even more now. Because I really can't think of a bad game he played all year.
Me neither. He's been absolutely fantastic. And, Jimmy, here's the other thing on the whole trade deadline situation. You guys know where I was coming from. I did not want Rick Nash here. I did not want this team. I did not want Sather to hand that pathetic joke of a hockey team our prized possessions. And now, I don't know if you've been reading Puck Daddy, apparently Housen just put Rick Nash under the bus.
Well, because Nash has asked for a trade, right?
Yep. It was Rick Nash who basically went to Housen and said, trade him. And now, and you know what? This is what Rick Nash really deserves. Because let him stay in limbo in Columbus. Let him go to some other team during, you know, if they're going to make a draft deal during the NHL draft this summer. let him make that deal then, and we'll see what happens. But you know what? There's no way I want that player coming to this team. I want to see Chris Kreider. And I think I don't know if I told you guys the last time. Kreider, a couple of weeks ago, was on the NBC Sports Network for the Friday College Hockey Game of the Week when Boston College was in Vermont. A hat trick. The kid is filthy. The kid can score. He can skate. He can hit. He can play defense. This kid, whatever Cherepanov was supposed to be, and you know, it's still a shame that the kid died so young. But if this guy can make up for what Cherepanov could have been, this would be the best no trade during the deadline deal of the century for this team.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's, you know, again, I don't know who said it. It's the deals you don't do sometimes that are the difference makers, and I think it's going to be one of them. I can't believe that was. I did not hear that was the final offer. I would have said no to that right away. These are prospects. Like Christian Thomas is fantastic. JT Miller looks great. Erickson looked good here, and they didn't even and a number one and Dubinsky, and it still wasn't enough. I mean, you're right. He's Housen is he's totally boxed himself into a corner here, and now he's got a disgruntled player on his hands.
Exactly, and you know he's probably gonna get fired anyway at the end of the season, regardless. So you know what? Let Housen drown in his own misery. I can really care less. I don't care about the Blue Jackets. I don't care about Rick Nash. I only care about our team, and that's the New York Rangers. And Clarkson is lucky that John Tortorella does not push the button to bring up Sean Avery to kick his ass. Because I'm telling you right now, if Clarkson is lucky, he got away with murder. Well, I hope Shanahan will suspend him for 5 or 6 games because that was disgraceful. And you're right. David Clarkson is a hard-working hockey player. He does many things well for the Devils. And I don't know what happened. I mean, he all of a sudden – I mean, you can tell. Whenever he acts like a real jerk, you can see it on the ice whenever he feels like it, every time he plays a range. I understand it's a big divisional game. We want to kick his ass too. But that was just disgraceful.
Well, this is what I think with Clarkson. I think he's jealous that the Rangers get all the press. And when he, for some reason, he played tonight like Avery was out there, because Avery used to get on the Clarkson skin, like, and Kovalchuk's as well. And he played it like tonight. He played like a guy just was going to be stupid from the onset, which plays right into our hands because, you know, frankly, the guy has some skill. He's a good hockey player. But he just lost it. He had to, if I were the coach, I would have been like, listen, you know, this is stupid. Let your Eric Boltons or, Michael Boltons take care of that nonsense, do that nonsense. But you can't have it from a guy who's, I think he plays on the second line, doesn't he? He's a second line player.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, something
Aren't
like that.
Aren't they shooting at shiz about that third line? That
I don't know.
Ryan Carter,
yeah.
And, this is a great third line. I'm like, talk about our third line.
Exactly.
I don't know what was going on with Clarkson, but Rangers win. Marty goes down, and Henrik, once again, he owns Marty.
Yes, he does.
Marty just cannot win against Lundqvist. And that's,
nope.
That's the long and the short of it.
That's all it is. That's the truth of it. And I'll tell you right now, guys, I feel pretty good about this team. A 12-point lead over the Devils. I think it's now a 9-point lead ahead of the Bruins for first place in the conference. You know, I am just so excited, and I'm just so happy to see the Rangers. And I'm not going against some of our fellow fans here. I don't want to. But to hear them talking about we need Nash. Do we need Nash that badly to give up the entire farm and at the same time, you know, the entire city block? I mean, come on.
Well,
this
I
is
think
finally our
problem.
Time.
I mean, listen, there is a faction of us fans that are reactionary. I'm not one of them. I don't get crazy over one loss. If we lose to a division rival, you know people are going to go flip out. If we look bad, like we lost to the Islanders, people want to, you know, even though
I don't like losing. I don't, Eddie. I don't like losing to the Islanders either. But you're going to have to expect that because those guys are going to come up and play against us hard. That's what we have to expect against that team, regardless of how bad their record is. We've got six games against them. Three of them are on Long Island, and they're always going to play hard in front of their home fans, whatever's left of them.
Right. Well,
you know,
yeah. But you know, the problem is that we never get off to a good start against them. But going back to the reactionary fans, face it, when this team loses and goes into a two-game, which is so ridiculous we're even talking about this, a two- or three-game losing streak, they look awful. They don't look good because, you know, frankly, they don't show much offense when they're winning. So when they're losing, they look even more anemic. So people give that reaction. We've got to get more scoring. But the identity of this team, which is proven by them not making a trade, is that this is how we're going into the playoffs. We have to accept this is the Rangers' style. They are going to just shut you down, and that's it. We're not going to score. The only thing I have as a problem is fix the power play. You have enough
power.
No,
you're right.
That is just a continuing thing that lingers. Is
you're
that
absolutely
a
right.
Power play goal here and there would make the game so much easier for them. They're taking the hard way. It can make it a lot easier. So that's how
absolutely.
I
no, and listen, I've been having problems with the power play too. Obviously, I haven't bitched as much of it as probably some other Ranger fans have. You know, look, my belief is this: fine, we get a power play. I get a little annoyed when I hear or when I'm in the chat on the Blue Shirt Banter site, decline it. I don't like the way the power play is going either. But I get so annoyed when I hear it, when I see it being typed up, and I'm like, look. You can say whatever you want, and I understand it's a pain in the ass, but you know what? Look, the point is that we got the freaking call. We're getting a two-minute power play. I mean, I want to see them go gusto and bury one in, but you know what? It's just a frustrating thing, and I don't need to see – I don't need to read that to get more agita over it. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Go in there, bury it. You're right, though. No, but you're right, though. It is a pain in the ass, but I just get so –
I'm not
going to
be all consumed with it, and when it happens, I still – call me a fool, if you will. In my mind, they can score. Like, I'm like this, you know – I treat it like they were, like, five for the last 15. I think that they have a chance to score, but I'm a fool. I mean, I'm a dreamer.
Right. Of course.
But yeah. I'm not going to get all negative about it, but I just – you got to fix it.
Yeah, no, you're right. No, you're absolutely right. Look, I'm not oblivious to it. It's got to get fixed. And hopefully, you know, let's hope that, you know, Brad Richards can break out of it. And, you know, I understand he's sacrificing offense for the sake of the system. But that's what we brought you in here for. Let's get some shots on net. Let's try and bury one past any goalie that we face. And then we'll be fine. Probably he's saving it for the playoffs. I don't know. Let's hope and see what he can do when we get to the playoffs. But I'm telling you right now, boys, I am happy with this team. We got a great win. We beat Brodeur again. And I am just happy that this whole thing is rolling in our favor. Gentlemen, have a good night. I got to get going. I'll talk to you later. Let's go, Rangers. I'm just pumped.
Thanks, Dan.
All right.
We'll talk to you next time.
I'll talk to you next time.
And the Rangers are – I mean, let's look at the stats, Jim, and just to top off of what he said. They are rolling. This team is the best team in the Eastern Conference. We all should be giddy. This is one of the best Rangers seasons ever, ever. And I think we should just enjoy it a little bit more, you know. And then when Marty Biron starts, we, you know, we'll have a little chuckle and take the loss and some laughs. That's what I do. Against the Islanders, I laughed. I was like, we got enough points. We got 1 point out of this. All right, throw me the comedy. Let's get the shootout. So, anyway, Jim, I want to thank you for receiving me back into the fold after my absence. I missed all you guys. If you want, you can catch us on Facebook. BlueShirtUnderground.com. What else we got? Don't we have some plane flying with a banner?
Yes.
Skywriting tomorrow.
If you've missed our shows, we're on iTunes. We're on Microsoft Zune. You can also go to, if you have an Android phone or a You can download the Blog Talk Radio app. Just search for us there, Blue Shirt Underground Radio. You can listen to us right on your phone.
We got a lot of people on Twitter listening to us.
Yep.
Love that. Love the Twitters, the Twatters.
Make sure you follow both of us on Twitter. At Ranger Crisis is Eddie, and I am at BSU Radio Jim. I'm usually on Twitter during all Ranger games, poking fun at the broadcast and whatever else I can come up with.
I want to thank everybody in the chat room. I see a lot of new names. Chris the Meat, which is a great name.
Nick Maruzzi.
Kevin Stewart, 10.
Yep.
Jay in Wyoming.
Jay's been here before, but I think it's been a while since we've seen him.
Yeah, little Kev, 20. I thank you all for coming out, man. You made my night. And Jim, once again, you've made my Ranger night. Big win for the Rangers tonight as they slap the Devils silly.
Adam just said Blue Shirt Underground foil hats be on sale soon.
You can always use a golf club. How would he said that? You might have missed it. You might have been crying when that.
I might have been. I had to get up and walk away from the video because it was just ridiculous. I'm sitting there laughing so hard. An epic episode. I'm telling you. Tell your friends. Make sure. When will we be back? We are scheduled for Wednesday, but I'll leave that up to you. I don't know what the Rangers schedule.
Well, the Rangers are playing. I think are the Rangers playing Wednesday?
I don't know. Maybe then we have no business doing a show.
I don't know. The schedule is whack. I saw the NBC Sports schedule. Can somebody shout out in the chat room when the Rangers play next?
I think their next game is Thursday, actually, against the Hurricanes.
Okay.
They play Thursday and Friday night.
Thursday, Friday. How about we do a show Wednesday? Like, I want to maybe we'll combine a hockey card show and a Ranger show together. Would you do that?
Yeah, I don't care. Sure, that's fine. I'm just double checking on the schedule. Yeah, they have they're off today. They're off tomorrow and Wednesday. They play Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. They've got a busy week and a half coming up. So. 2 weeks, actually.
A lot of people have been messaging me about the hockey cards and, you know, want to learn and get into it and could show them what's going on if you're into the hockey card. And we can mix it up. We could just, you know, do what we do. We'll just talk hockey and, you know, maybe Frankie will call in. but there's no game on Wednesday, right?
There is no game on Wednesday. The Rangers are now off until Thursday.
Okay. Because Tom Ertz keeps saying pregame show on Wednesday.
I can't do pregame shows.
Yeah, pregames are just...
There is no pregame for me. Pregame for me is spent at my desk.
Yes.
Working the
job
that pays. And it's going to get even worse in 2 weeks because daylight savings time comes back, and then I'm 3 hours behind, and then it becomes a real mad dash to get home and get on the air.
And just so you guys listen... Well, yeah, I know you will listen, but just as more of an enticement to listen, I'll... upload the new Frankie clips.
There's probably a couple from the show the other night that you might want to take a listen to as well. And
I upload. Will.
So, all right, guys.
All right, so we'll see you Wednesday night.
Go to bed, and we'll see you guys Wednesday night, 8:30.
8:30 sounds good.
All right, have a good night, everybody. Take care.
Good night.